you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that speeds through the mile markers of history one day at a time. I'm Gabe Lousier, and today we're looking at an important event in automotive history, a thrilling race through Chicago at white-knuckle speeds of up to 7 miles per hour. Hold on to your hats, everybody. The day was November 28, 1895. The first American auto race took place in Chicago, Illinois, with 6 racers competing in custom, handcrafted cars. The 50-plus mile race began in downtown Chicago and sent drivers all the way to Evanston and back again. The race was sponsored by the local Times-Herald newspaper and was open to all qualifying vehicles, whether they were powered by gas, electricity, or steam. The Times-Herald put up $5,000 in prize money, which would be more than $150,000 today. Interestingly enough, the Times-Herald also offered $500 to the reader who suggested the best replacement term for automobile. Apparently, the newspaper's publisher, H.H. Colsott, thought that automobile sounded, quote, too Frenchy. The winning replacement word was motorcycle. That's motorcycle without the R. So anytime you hear that term today, just think car. As you probably figured out, this was early days for the automobile. So early that even the name wasn't settled on. In 1895, most people had never seen a horseless carriage, and even fewer had driven or ridden in one. Those who had weren't big fans either. The noise and smell of an engine-powered vehicle convinced many people they were better off without it. In fact, opposition to cars was so rampant in American cities that when pedestrians saw someone driving a car, they would yell, "Get a horse!" Of course, not everyone looked down on this new form of transportation. Early gearheads and aspiring car makers found a new hobby in building engines and mounting them to different kinds of carriages. There was no mass manufacturing of cars at the time. Innovations like the assembly line and the Model T were still over a decade away. Instead, the vehicles were hand-assembled by the people who believed most in the car's potential. Racing these machines was a natural extension of that passion. The world's first car race had taken place earlier that summer in France, and American car enthusiasts thought that kind of excitement was just what they needed to win over the public back home. H.H. Kohlsaat was one of those true believers. He announced that the Times Herald race would be held, quote, in the belief that the invention and coming perfection of vehicle motors is destined to work a revolution in road transportation. In that sense, the motorcycle race in 1895 wasn't just a competition. It was a way to prove that cars were a safe and reliable way to travel. Kohlsaat wanted as many people as possible to see the demonstration, so he originally planned the race for the 4th of July. However, most competitors couldn't be ready by then, so the date was ultimately pushed all the way to Thanksgiving. That gave the drivers plenty of time to build and test their vehicles, but the rescheduling failed to consider what the weather would be in Chicago in late November. When the big day arrived, there was a good 5 inches of slush on the streets, left over from a snowstorm 2 days earlier. The weather was below freezing, and the wind coming off the water in Jackson Park made it even colder. Needless to say, Kohlsaat didn't get the big holiday crowd he had hoped for. Reports of the true crowd size vary, but most accounts say there were a few hundred spectators at the start of the race, with most of them leaving once it was underway. In the end, only 6 cars made it to the starting line that chilly morning. 4 of those vehicles were gas-powered. The first was an American car that had been built by brothers Charles and Frank Duryea, with Frank in the driver's seat. The other 3 gas vehicles were all built by German automaker Carl Benz. One of them was sponsored by the De La Verne Refrigerator Company, another raced for Macy's Department Store, and the last had a private family sponsor. The final 2 entries were powered by electricity, but due to the limitations of their batteries and the cold weather, both cars dropped out fairly soon into the race. No steam-powered cars competed that day, though they probably would have had a tough time in the cold as well. The race began at 8:55 a.m. with a staggered start. Frank Duryea set out first, and then the other drivers followed, with 1-minute intervals between each departure. Unfortunately, the final driver had a hard time getting his gas vehicle started, and by the time he finally joined the race over an hour later, only a dozen or so fans were left to cheer him on. The good news for that late driver was that the race wasn't a traditional dash to the finish line. The drivers were individually timed from the moment they departed, and each car had a referee riding along to deduct time for any obstacles they encountered, such as railroad crossings. With a top speed of about 7 miles per hour, the 50-plus mile race dragged on well into the evening. By 6:30 p.m., a series of mechanical failures had left just 2 cars in the race, Frank Duryea and a Benz driver named Oscar Mueller. Duryea was in the lead and nearing the finish line, although few besides reporters would be on hand to see his victory. According to Kohlsaat, the drivers acted as their own cheerleaders instead. As he put it, quote, lacking spectators, except here and there a solitary workman on his way home, the men on the motor gave vent to war whoops, cheers, catcalls, and other manifestations of joy over the victory they were winning. Finally, at 7:18 p.m., Frank Duryea became the first to cross the finish line. All told, he had driven 52.4 miles in 10 hours and 23 minutes. It may have taken a while, but Duryea didn't seem to mind. He was just happy to prove that his car could go the distance. He said, quote, the motor had at all times shown ample power, and at no time were we compelled to get out and push. The only other remaining driver, Oscar Mueller, arrived 2 hours after Duryea, However, by then, he wasn't the one doing the driving. His referee had been forced to take over after Mueller passed out from the cold. The freezing driver did make a full recovery, and since he technically came in second, he took home $1,500 in prize money for his trouble. His experience also helped squash the idea of racing so late in the year. The country's next auto race would be held on a balmy Memorial Day weekend. So with just two finishing drivers and barely any spectators, the first American automobile race wasn't a total success, but it still helped prove the potential of cars to a decreasingly skeptical public. A day after the race, several Midwest newspapers ran the same predictive headline. It read three short words: horse is doomed. I'm Gabe Lussier, and hopefully you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you have a second and you're so inclined, come find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any feedback or thoughts you'd like to share, you can always write to us at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thank you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.